Welcome everyone to Jenkins Church this morning. I'd first off like to say a happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, so wish you a great day. We have the registration tablets I think are being passed out, so if you would please register your attendance in the registration. And we'd also like to welcome any first-time visitors to Jenkins Church. Do we have any first-time visitors to my left? How about in the middle row, in the middle area? Any first-time visitors? No? Okay, how about to my right? Okay, in the very back we do. Yes. Okay, welcome. We'd like to welcome you to Jenkins Church this morning. Okay. Do we have any announcements this morning? There are several printed in our bulletin, but do we have any extra? Okay, great. The youth have worked really hard in all their fundraising, getting ready for their missions trip this summer, so... Well, I think we need to give the youth a big hand, too, because they all worked really hard in all the fundraising efforts that they did. Do we have any prayer concerns, prayer requests? Or do we have... Okay, Ms. Melanie. That's exciting. Exciting news. Any other prayer concerns, Mr. England? Okay. Okay, postponing the men's breakfast next Saturday. Okay. Any other prayer concerns or praise?
Yes.
Mary Graham was rushed to the hospital yesterday. She's the Franciscan's neighbor. And there was an unnamed prayer request. I wrote it on my hand and it washed off. So,
Diana
Stout's mother also went to the emergency room this morning.
Any other prayer concerns? Okay. If not, let's take this time for a moment of silence to lift up those in our prayer list.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, Creator. In the beginning, you moved over the waters. From your breath, creation drew life. Without you, life turns to dust.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Counselor. By your inspiration, the prophets spoke and acted in faith. You clothed them in power to be bearers of your word.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Power. You came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You gave them voice before the rulers of this world.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, sanctifier. You created us children of God. You make us the living temple of your presence. You intercede within us with sighs too deep for words.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, giver of life. You guide and make holy the church you create. You give gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that the whole creation may become what you want it to be.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 257. Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come. He is here with us. Let's sing the first and last.
Bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning to thank you for your presence with us in the form of the Spirit. Lord, your Son Jesus said that whenever we meet in his name, that he would be there with us. And we know that, Lord, that is you. That he cannot come in, or chooses not to come in physical bodies now. That will come later. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, comes to dwell with us, to teach us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to bless us, to correct us, to consecrate us unto you. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon this service. We pray that you would so touch each life that we would be sensitive to your presence and be willing to be challenged, even be shaped by your will. Thank you and praise be unto you. And now we pray as your dear Son taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. We say that we're still working on the perfect bulletin, and this Sunday is not the time for the perfect bulletin. Sam was sick, and we'll blame it on him or blame it on his sickness. The scripture is not Acts 1, 1 through 8. The scripture is on an insert. It is Acts 2, 1 through 21. And for the tribute to mothers that will come after our time of confession, this is a tribute to every woman or every female. And if you're not a mother by natural means, you're probably somebody's spiritual mother, whether you know it or not. So we want to honor all of you.
A call to confession. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Our prayer of confession is in unison. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples,
creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith.
We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace. Speak the news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of God, our Lord. Our assurance of forgiveness. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sins. You are not going to die. Our tribute to mothers is going to be read by Jay.
Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sisters, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We have some Mother's Day pins that we want to give out. Hannah, would you mind helping us pass those out? And maybe Carly and Jacqueline, would you mind? They're in the back.
Thank you. Did we miss anyone?
We want to get a few. Thank you, girl.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 535. We're going to sing 1 and 2.
Sentence, for the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26. If our ushers would please come forward.
Let us pray. Holy God, our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with all of the earth, who still belongs to you, calling us to fulfill it. The Lord, you never asked us to destroy. So help us to be mindful of the care of the earth. Help us to use it for good and not evil. Thank you for entrusting us with material benefits. Thank you for the privilege of being able to return a portion to you. Bless their use. Your honor.
and glory. Amen.
Heaven sees God's image there, the family. Holy season answered prayer. Mama, see the miracle. She sees it like no other. No one knows quite like the mother. That miracle of life. Everyone can feel the joy. We see a baby girl, a boy. But Mama sees a miracle. Mama sees a miracle.
Now, children's time with Miss Andrea. So, children, if you all come forward. And I hope everybody that had an opportunity has said happy Mother's Day already to their mom. Well, it's really funny how things work out. In our scripture reading this morning, it's the very scripture that I picked out to share with you today, and pretty much in the same context. But I wanted to tell you about some special folks that my kids knew. My children were very blessed in their life, not only to have their grandparents, but their great-grandparents. They got to know their great-grandparents. But those folks, and that was so wonderful, and they had also the opportunity of having an older couple that lived across the road from us, and they were called Miss Fanny and Mr. Paul. Well, Miss Fanny didn't have any grandchildren. She never had any grandchildren. So when she found out that I was getting ready to have Lori, she said to me, "Oh, I can't wait. She's old enough to come around across the road on her own." And Miss Fanny was just like, my kids were so lucky because they had three sets of grandparents. And in the evenings when my husband and I were doing things, Mr. Larry, Miss Fanny and Mr. Paul would sit out on the porch. And, of course, we knew that was the signal. They wanted Lori and Scott to come over. So we would take them over, and they would watch us from the porch, doing whatever we were doing, working in the yard, mowing the yard, working with horses or whatever. So they spent a lot of time with them, and I thought how blessed they were and how blessed Miss Fanny was to have grandchildren. And I think about our Mother's Day, too, and how our Lord and Savior, He teaches us everything we need to know if we'll just look into His Word. He lets us know exactly how we should honor our mother and what we should do from the cross. He let us know. He, you know, made sure before He went ahead and fulfilled what He needed to do for us, and He did it for each and every one of us, that His mother was taken care of. And you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and this week I wanted to talk to you about long-suffering. And this morning I looked up the definition of long-suffering because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and I don't think there's a word anywhere that describes mothers more. The definition of long-suffering is patiently bearing difficulties or wrongs. Patience, endurance. And that's what mothers do. Moms never give up on you. Never. No matter what. No matter what you do. And that's exactly what our Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior never gives up on us either. We might give up on Him, but He never gives up on us. And He taught us from the cross to take care of our moms, honor our moms, and our daddies too. But He made sure that His mother had a new son to take care of her. And that she had a son that would watch after her. And then, you know what it tells us in the Bible? It tells us that once this was done, once this was accomplished, Jesus went ahead and let go and went to be with His heavenly Father. So let's remember that. Anytime we wonder about what we need to do in life, it's all right here in the Lord's book.
and it tells us exactly what to do. And as followers of Him, we have those spirits, those fruits of the Spirit. So long suffering, patience, endurance, not easy things, not easy to do sometimes, but they're very important things. And just remember your Lord from the cross taking care of His mom, and let's be sure we honor not only our moms, but other moms as well. Women of God who are helping direct you each and every day. Please sing with us.
Our lesson this morning is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
somebody came in this morning and Mr. Lindsay and said, what did I choose? Pentecost or Mother's Day? And I said, well, both. And we hopefully we have honored our mothers throughout the congregation, but I want to preach on Pentecost today. I inform you that this may be as much educational or informational as it is inspirational, but I trust even it being educational or informational that will the Holy Spirit that we're talking about today will make it inspirational. Take word about himself and inspire us with it. There are many different interpretations of what you have just heard. If we were in a Pentecostal church, there would be one interpretation. And if we were in a Nazarene church, we would have a different interpretation. In a Baptist church, we'd probably have a different interpretation. And a church of Reformed tradition with Presbyterian attached to their name would probably have some kind of different interpretation. And each of us may interpret it differently. Or we may have one group here out of this congregation that would think in these thoughts, a certain line of thinking, and then another group that would think in another line of thinking. This passage has caused a great deal of problems with many people in how it is interpreted. And with all the many interpretations, could we say that it's been interpreted wrongly? Or that maybe God has revealed it to particular people as they needed it at a particular time, that it was right for them at this time. Pentecost. The color is red. We have red on the altar. It may have been at the early service last week that I mentioned red. It might have been at this one. Things kind of run together sometimes. And some of you have on red. I thought about a red shirt this morning. Gary wore a red shirt. Thank you, Gary. Miss Clara has a red blouse. And that's the reddest two I see. Other shades of red. And I did get a red tie. Thought about the red shirt, but I kind of, well, that was old and faded. And I decided to wear white, because you can't tell if it's old and faded, right, from where you're seated. So, I did get the red tie, and I thought this morning as I was getting ready. Now, let me say if I've got a red tie, that'll go with the blue suit. And so, this morning to kind of symbolize through our clothing, through the altar cloth, call our attention to fire. The fire, tongues of fire at Pentecost. That's mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And I trust that each of you have a copy of that before you. Kind of rather small print, but it's there before you. Jan Richardson was a minister. And she wrote these words concerning Pentecost. The celebration of Pentecost beckons us to keep breathing. It challenges us to keep ourselves open to the Spirit of God, who seeks us. And let's remember that the Holy Spirit, though it's often referred to as an it, is really He, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's God in the form of Spirit coming to each of us. And Richardson asked that or says that it, that Pentecost is a challenge to us. So I hope it'll be a challenge to each of you this morning to keep yourself open to the Spirit who seeks to fill us, use us, motivate us, bless us, convict us, convert us, consecrate us, and much more. The Spirit, in the beginning, and it's the same Spirit. You read Genesis, you read of the Spirit brooding over the chaos. The world was void, without form. Brought forth out of this formless, this void, brought forth creation. You're a part of it. This world that we live in, or live on, is a part of it. And that person next to you, a part of it. This Spirit, it reached that community of believers in the first century. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2. It drenched it, or covered it, or saturated it with fire and breath on that day of Pentecost. And Richardson challenges us, and I use her words, that same Spirit desires to dwell within us and among us. But what is Pentecost? Where did it come from? Go back to the Old Testament. This is the educational part. After the 8 o'clock service, someone said, didn't know that. And then went on to say that nothing is coincidental, really, was it? Old Testament. Spring harvest. I drove from Triune to Bellevue Church yesterday along Highway 96 going west and saw the results of a spring harvest. Big rolls of hay. They had harvested the hay and baled it into big rolls of hay. Food for the animals that it would be delivered to. Pentecost in the Old Testament was a celebration of the spring harvest. We have our harvest celebration, Thanksgiving, in the fall. It started with Plymouth, did it not? And we run it back to there, but there was a harvest many Thanksgiving times in the Old Country, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Opportunities to offer thanks. The Jewish people, every time they get an opportunity, they have a celebration, a festival. You talk about Christians, Presbyterians eating a lot and fellowshipping a lot. Well, we're biblical. The church is always celebrating. They gather at table when they do it. Some people refuse to eat with us. That's their problem. And we go ahead and eat without them. And that's a rabbit trail that I could just keep going on. But hay roads. The Pentecost celebration was the end of the spring barley harvest. Or so I am told, and I can't argue with it. You probably can't either. And the beginning of the summer wheat harvest. And we know even in this country about summer wheat and winter wheat. So, at the end of the barley harvest, they would celebrate. And the harvest was called Shavuot. And I may have mispronounced that. I don't claim to be an expert in pronouncing words that are not real southern. Shavuot was distinguished in ancient times by bringing a crop offering, an offering of their produce, and offering it
in the temple in Jerusalem. And you go back and read Leviticus, you can find that they'd bring they had what they called a wave offering. So they would wave before God the produce of the field. They would also, at other times, offer upon the altar a meat offering. But they also took produce offering, barley or wheat, and waved it before the Lord. They may have thrown it up. I wasn't there. I don't know just how they did it. And I'm sure that different little groups maybe would be different than another group. Maybe the children would get excited. I'm saying maybe. And throw it higher. And the Orthodox would say, you're throwing it too high. Who knows about that? But we get all bothered by that sometimes. But there was something more important about Pentecost and more spiritual than just celebrating and thanking God for the good harvest. It was a celebration of the giving of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. You can name them, can't you? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You knew that, didn't you? And when did that happen? Well, a few weeks ago we celebrated Passover, or we remembered Passover. And actually, almost every time we receive the elements of Holy Communion and celebrate the Lord's Supper, I try to remember and remind that this happened, this was instituted, as Jesus met with his disciples to celebrate Passover. Passover was celebration or remembering when the Israelites were freed from bondage in Egypt. And they left Egypt and they started toward the Promised Land, and they hurried across the Red Sea with the Egyptians in hot pursuit, and they got through the Red Sea and the Egyptians got swallowed up in the mud and the water, and they went forward. They were going along rather rapidly, and they traveled for 49 days. And they got to the foot of Mount Sinai. And there, God gave them the commandments. He gave them the law. Remember, you might say he laid down the law to them. Maybe that's where that phrase came from. He spoke the law to them. Spoke it to Moses. When you go back and read the details of God giving the law, you can find it in Exodus 20, but also I think it's the 5th chapter or 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. And so they would meet every spring, 50 days after the celebration of Passover. See, I said they celebrated often. They would meet and celebrate the giving of the law, or commemorate, or remember, or thank God for it. Now, how many commandments, when we talk about God giving the commandments, do you know that God gave? Tell me. How many commandments did God give? Pound holding up 10, two hands with five fingers each? 10. Okay. Let me tell you something else. There were a few more. A little more than 10. Somebody counted 613. This is Judaism 101, a list of the 613 commandments. And it's everything about how to redeem the firstborn human male, or that a man shall not wear women's clothing. Some details, 613 of them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, most of them in Leviticus. And not to indulge in familiarities with relatives, such as kissing, embracing, winking, skipping, which may lead to incest. Not commit divorce by a formal written document. 613. So, we kind of put them down to 10. But there were other laws there. So they would meet on the 50th day after Passover and celebrate and remember and probably read some of them. And if you're interested in that, we don't have to live by all of them, but we do try to live by the Ten Commandments, do we not? Let's say yes. Please. Yes, we do. Call the Torah. It took the name weeks. It took 49 days for our ancestors to travel from Egypt to the foot of Mount Sinai, and then where they were to receive the Torah. Thus, Leviticus 23:21 commands, "And you shall proclaim that day, the 50th day, to be a holy convocation." And then the weeks, it was a completion of 7 weeks, or a week of weeks, or penta, or 50. Alex Stevenson has related this and tried to illustrate it with the old camp meeting. And probably neither one of us gathered here ever attended an old camp meeting, have we? You go to a camp meeting out in Arkansas, Ted, and kind of host one. We have kids camp, or senior high camp, junior high camp, junior camp, middle school camp, and all like that. But an adult camp meeting, have you ever gone and parked at a recreation place, camp meeting type, and had church all week? Judy has. Yes. And as an adult, teenagers. Okay, we did it as, I always did it as an adult, but I had to go as a leader working with teenagers. Mother would never trust me. Trust those people that would be taking care of me to let me go to camp, okay. But I went as an adult. But anyhow, they would go and have camp meetings, and the Covenant Center was an outgrowth of the camp meeting. They didn't have the camp meeting back then, but they would come to Jerusalem, and the people around Jerusalem, there probably were not enough hotels and motels, Holiday Inns, Embassy Suites, all those things, Marriott's, even Motel 6's, so they would set up little booths or little tabernacles, and they would live in them. And then, he says, and some of you may not know anything about these songs, but he says, they may not have been singing "Give Me That Old Time Religion," but they were recalling the good old days when the children of Israel followed God as they traveled through the desert and God revealed himself as a pillar of fire. He says, I'm sure they didn't sing "Shall We Gather at the River," but they did recall the water that gave life to their ancestors in the desert. So that's the Old Testament, giving of the law. Now, New Testament, it was on this day, on the day when the people were all gathered from either 12 or 14 or 15 or a bunch of communities, a bunch of foreign countries. Have you counted them? How many did you find? When I count them, I get a different number almost each time. I don't know if it's my problem or what. I guess it is my problem. But on the day when the people were gathered, God chose to fulfill his promise to send his spirit upon his people. You remember, was it last week? Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So it was on the 10 days after the ascension, they were in the city, they were celebrating the giving of the Torah, as well as the spring harvest, and a bunch of people around, and God sent his Holy Spirit. He fulfilled his promise. He sent his power. Now, different people interpreted this different ways. The people that got filled with the Holy Spirit, some people looked at him and said, that's just a bunch of drunks. It's all right there in the scripture, right? They're just a bunch of drunks. They interpreted it one way. Bunch of crazy folks. Been drinking too much. Peter saw it a different way. He stood up and said, it's not drunkenness, folks. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They hadn't had time to get drunk. Well, I've seen some people drunk at 9, though, in our society, but customary there, evidently, it was an afternoon, you know, at 5 o'clock somewhere. One song says they wait till evening. So, it wasn't time to get drunk, but some people interpreted it as being a drunken brawl. Or a drunken party that had too much to drink. Others saw, and Peter saw, said, this is the blessing of God sending his Holy Spirit upon his people as he promised And we find it in Acts chapter 1 and Luke chapter 24. They were all together. They were in one place, and the Spirit appeared. It arrived as a rushing wind, filling them, inspiring them, causing them to draw breath, causing them to speak. And the experience came 50 days after the resurrection. Now the law was given on the 50th day after the Passover, after they were freed from Egypt. Pentecost experience, the giving of the Holy Spirit, came 50 days after the resurrection. Along with the wind came fire. God has often been associated, or His presence has been marked by flames. Go back to Moses, when he received his call to lead the Israelites from the bondage of the Egyptians. God spoke to him through a burning bush. And then as the Israelites traveled through the desert or the wilderness, he led them by a pillar of fire by night, the presence of God. And then there was the temple fire that consumed the sacrificial offering that was placed upon the altar. Deuteronomy chapter 4:24 says that the Lord your God is a devouring fire. And along with the wind came the fire. In our society, we want to contain a fire. We want to control a fire. We want it to be a gentle force. But the fires of Pentecost, they were not the flames of birthday candles on a nice looking cake, or the flames that we watch in a cozy fireplace. The fires of Pentecost are signs of the God who resists our every attempt to domesticate the divine and to control how the holy will work. And aren't we guilty of that? For the followers of Jesus, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, became an occasion of profound initiation. They were initiated beyond belief, beyond their belief, I'm guessing, with the gift of the Spirit and with the gift of the flame. The community of Jesus was fired up, so to speak. They were fired. They were prepared. And they were propelled, if you will, into a new stage of their journey. Go, tell, speak the word. Peter took advantage of this and stood that day and began to proclaim to all who would listen. This was the fulfillment of prophecy. This was God at work. Someone said, like a vessel in the flame of a kiln, the followers of Jesus received the transformation that they needed. They were no longer just a group of believers, but now they were a community of believers, a body enlivened by the Spirit of God, and they would endure, and they would continue the work that Jesus had started when He was on the earth. We see in this God's presence. The Holy Spirit was, the Holy Spirit is God in the flesh. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. So I'm right on track when I say that this was the presence of God in spirit form. This experience of Pentecost was a revelation of God's power. If you look to verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Also in Acts chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, let me read these words. The prophet had said, and Peter said that this was a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel had spoken. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And then in verse 20, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. God's power. But it's also a time of God's peace. Go back to John chapter 20, if you will. Disciples were meeting in the upper room. They were frightened. Their leader had been crucified. They were behind locked doors the first time with Thomas absent, and Jesus appears in their midst. And what does he say to them? Except, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Later, they were again behind locked doors. Thomas was with them this time. You know, Thomas had said, I will not believe that he has risen, that Jesus has risen, unless I can place my hands and the scars in his hand and my hand in his side. Jesus appeared again and spoke again to those gathered disciples, peace be with you. Then we see this was the work of God's Spirit in the world coming. The prophet had said that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter preached about the Lord Jesus, and 3,000 that day were saved. The work had begun. The work had begun. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They didn't stay locked up in a room. They burst out into the world, if you will, and shared the good news about God's deeds of power. Let God be at work in this church. Our gifts say that we really want to burst out into the world full of the good news of God's love and His saving grace. The celebration of Pentecost beckons us to keep breathing. It challenges us to keep ourselves open to the Spirit who seeks us. The Spirit that in the beginning brooded over the chaos and brought forth creation. The Spirit that drenched the community with fire and breath on the day of Pentecost. The same Spirit desires to dwell within us and among us. Amen. And amen. Shall we turn in our hymnals to the hymn of invitation? Hymn of response, the hymn of commitment. 337. The hymn is a request to God that He not pass us by. And certainly we can make this our prayer, that when He is pouring out His Spirit, that we do not get passed by without receiving a portion of that Spirit. Stand together, sing with me, sing together, 337, all the verses. Maybe your response would be a public one this morning.
as God moves in your life through His Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Thank you.